It's time for Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/the duck.
Good morning, folks. This is Bill Anderson, and our radio show is called Under Your Home with DryZone. And as promised, Bert Murray is joining me again. Bert, I appreciate it. I know Jason does. I know he's got a lot of stuff going on, so I appreciate you doing this with me again.
No problem, Bill.
Last week, after the show, we really started talking. When we went and got breakfast, we were talking about wall anchors.
Right.
And we do a good amount of wall anchors. I know we've sort of talked about them in past shows, and we'd actually even won an award in 2010 for our wall anchor systems.
Right.
What's a wall anchor? Why do people need them?
I don't think people realize when they go down into their basements and they look at the walls, they see cracks. And they don't think about the cracks being a problem because every basement you go into has cracks. Well, some cracks are more or worse than others depending on what they... If you have a horizontal crack, you really need to be concerned whether your wall is starting to bow or not. And those walls can actually fail.
It was funny because I was in a house, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, my days sometimes run together. We went in there and I was with Brad. And Brad, he does our total basement finishing products. And he's the one who inherited it from you. So when we went in this house, he saw the horizontal crack and he told the homeowners, listen, this is something you need to be concerned about. Before we start putting these walls up, you really need to talk with Billy. So the homeowner's like, yeah, all right, whatever. Have him come in here just to satisfy you, whatever. So we got in there and that's the first thing the homeowner told me. He's like, Billy, it's a little crack. It's been like that for 20 years. I'm not going to buy it. I just did it to appease your salesman. Like, oh, easy killer. You know, I'm like, just relax. You know, and we started talking about it. I'm like, well, how long has the crack been here? And he's like, I'm telling you, 20 years. I'm like, well, how much bow in the wall do you have? And he's like, well, what do you mean? The crack's just, it's like an eighth of an inch. So I'm like, no. I got out my straight edge, and we went from the bottom of the floor to the top of the floor, and the wall was bowing in over an inch and a half.
Right.
That's a ridiculous amount of bow, right? I mean, right. I say really anything over a quarter of an inch people really need to start being concerned about because, you know, walls are meant to hold a compressive load, which means the weight of their house, right?
Up and down.
Up and down.
Not
the weight of the soil side by side. And when he saw how bad that deflection was, he went from, oh, it's just a crack that's been there for 20 years. What do we need to do? We sat down and we talked to him about our brochures. I showed him some different videos. We actually set up a time where he went out on a job site with one of our crews, and I had my production manager meet him, and he really explained to him what we were doing, how we were installing it, how these things get anchored, and then what we can do to basically put that wall back into a level position.
Right, so we're not just stabilizing the wall, but we're actually stabilizing it and can straighten it.
Yeah, you know, and it's an amazing thing. Most folks just use these carbon straps, and carbon is basically, well, I guess carbon's near and dear to your heart. It's Kevlar.
It's Kevlar. Bulletproof.
It's what they make bulletproof vests out of. And for those of you who don't know, Bert was a retired state trooper for 25 years, so they definitely, I'm assuming, definitely saved many a trooper's lives.
Yes.
So it's great for stopping bullets, just not really good for putting houses back straight.
Straight. But give carbon strapping its due. There are applications that is your only choice, depending on what you have outside your home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've done houses, especially, you know, farther northern, like when you start getting into Newcastle County, up in Wilmington and Hokesson, right. And, you know, really even like Middletown and Smyrna's and Dover's, you start getting a lot more rocks in your soils. Mm. The farther north you go, you're going to start getting more of a rocky ledge. So, like, Delmarva's like, it's a weird geological place. So we have a lot of different extremes. We have beach sand, which, you know, you pick it up, it just goes right through your fingers. Then you'll have the clays, which, you know, the beaches, obviously, they're in Sussex County, King County, or Wicomico County, Worcester County, Somerset, but the farther north you get up into like Queen Anne's and Kent and Newcastle and Cecil County and all those different counties up there, you start getting a lot more clays. Well, clay, when it gets wet, it expands. Sand, when it gets wet, liquefies. So a lot of times, the farther west you get or the farther north you get, folks are going to talk, when they start talking about clays, they're going to say, well, basically, when it's dry, it shrinks up. Soils, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Sussex County, that's not so much. It locks up like a rock because sand, when it gets dry, it doesn't shrink. It's rock. It's just little teeny tiny pieces of rock. So when we talk about doing wall anchors, there's just a mix of why we do them in certain regions. Like, we'll do them sometimes in Sussex County because there's so much water pressure on the outside because the ground is so laden with water that the water itself is actually helping to push the wall in, right? Up north, the more wetter it gets, the more the clay expand, which is actually putting the stress on the wall. We don't do a whole lot in a drought period in Sussex County. We might do them more up north north because clay itself shrinks. So you get this constant heaving of the soil. You know, you get this expansion contraction, basically, which can make walls crack. But yeah, like you were saying, give the carbon strapping its due. If you're up in an area like, you know, Newcastle, whatever, that has a lot of rock, and we can't put these holes in the ground to embed these anchors in the yard.
Or you don't have the space between two homes.
Yeah. I mean, you'll find that. Now, we had that issue at a house in Rehoboth.
Right.
That there was, I don't think there was 6 feet between the houses.
6 feet between the houses, and we need a little bit, and that's not enough room.
Yeah, I mean, normally we go 12 feet out in the yard.
Correct.
So the homeowner's not going to let us, you know, go in there. The next door neighbor isn't going to go in the crawl space.
To support the next house.
Exactly. Even though they should, I think that's the neighborly thing to do, but some people aren't as nice, I guess. So, you know, then we had some of the house, we had to use wall anchors on. The other part of the house, we ended up having to use carbon strapping because it was the only option, you know. So, I mean, we've always talked before that every house is different, every solution's different. And, you know, that definitely holds true with foundations.
Right. But the wall anchors and how they work, though, is we dig or auger a spot out in the yard. And there's a bunch of math involved in this. It's just not we don't randomly pick spots.
Yeah, basically, we put all of our houses on what's called a load calculator,
right,
which we take a lot of different things into. We're not going to give up the trade secrets on the radio, but there's a lot of different factors that go into it. So we simply plug a lot of this different information into our computer. And it basically spits out information saying you need one here, 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 and here. And we'll go out into the yard and, you know, whether it's 12 feet or 24 feet or whatever we need to.
Right, we can go any distance we have to get under decks, sidewalks,
garages,
anything. I mean, because we're below grade. And we auger a hole and then we go into the basement. And we drill a hole into the wall.
And that's not like a 1-inch hole. It's
right.
A lot of folks are going to take like 8 inches out of it. We're taking a 1-inch hole.
And we drive a shaft out. And don't ask me how these guys do it, but they don't usually miss. And we put the largest plate that's available out there. It's 24 by 18, I believe, approximately there.
24 by 24.
24 by 24 into the ground. And then we put a plate on the inside of inside of the basement, and it is bolted on. And then we, in series, very slowly tighten those down to support it, and then eventually bring it back into level.
Yeah, the easiest way I can explain it, I know it's hard to talk about foundation stuff on the radio because we've got all these different great renderings, and we have all these videos, and we have all this other stuff, but the whole principle behind it is it's very much similar to a child's mouth when they need braces. We put braces on your home, and we torque that wall back into place. So it's like when you tighten a kid's mouth to get their teeth straight, it's sort of the same process. You do it slowly, you do a little bit over time, unless you can do it all at once. Sometimes we can actually achieve straightening all at once. There's just a lot of factors involved. And once it's locked down, once it's straight, it's straight. It's not going to progress any farther. We've achieved a brand new wall for 1/10 of the price. Zero disruption. The yard itself, you'll never even know we were there because we put down these different tarps with a hole in it. We have a mini loader, which is like a baby walk behind bobcat that we use that has an auger on it. And all the spoils come up on the tarps and all that. So when we're done, we simply put those spoils back, tamp it down, put the sod back in place. You never even knew we're there. So the wall anchors are definitely your best option. We still have the carbon strap. We have what's called a power brace, too, which is like the old I-beams that most folks see in a basement. Those I-beams used to be put in there just to stop the wall or arrest the wall from coming in any farther. With the I-beams we use now, we can actually help torque that wall back into place. It's not the best method, you know, or it's not the preferred method. We prefer to use the wall anchors, but, you know, if when we need to, like Bert said earlier, you know, sometimes we have to use carbon strapping for some reasons. Sometimes we might have to use power braces. And it's so nice knowing that no matter what happens, Bert,
we have the solution.
We have the solution, exactly. You know, there is nothing that we can't do. And everything, like I said, everything we use has been ran through the ICC.
Correct.
So real engineers have looked at it, designed it, built it, but then the governing body of the engineers have signed off on it. So what should a homeowner expect, Bert? Like, you've been on wall anchor jobs. What really should they expect? I mean, how much disruption should they get? How many anchors should we do in a day? You know, I'd say, six to eight anchors?
6 to 8 anchors in a day. The disruption, actually, there really is not that bad. I mean, there's a little bit of, I mean, with any construction, you're going to get some noise, but it's nothing that is out of the ordinary. It's nothing that is intolerable. But it's just like anything else. With any type of construction, any type of repair, you have to have some inconvenience. I mean, we wish the world was perfect and we could slip in there and nobody know we were there and be in and out, but it's just not that way.
Now, compared to the alternative?
compared to the alternative, this is a piece of cake. No excavators, no digging around your house, no having to move out to, because we have to lift your house off foundation to put a new wall in, and nowhere near the cost.
Have you ever been on a job site where they're doing that?
Yes.
It's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? They've got these great big like railroad ties, and they're making like Lincoln log houses out of it underneath the home to support it. And it's, you know, it's just simply cribbing, but it's amazing how god-awful that has to be. Such a horrible part of your life when you watch your home being raised out of the ground, everything that it was sitting on gone.
Well, it's that, and the fact that when they start lifting that house up, if it doesn't get lifted up evenly, things inside are going to crack. Drywall is going to crack. Doors are going to get shifted. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's no fault of the quote-unquote house mover.
It is what it is.
You've got to lift that thing, and you've got to start somewhere, and there's unfortunately nothing out there can just lift it all at one time.
And you know, the saddest part about that whole thing, Bert, you can go through the expense, and first of all, it's a lot of money to have your house raised, first of all.
And those walls could crack again.
Well, that's the sad part, because it's not the wall that failed.
Right.
It's the soils that the house sits in. It's that expansive soil that we sit up north, up in Newcastle and Kent and Cecil and all that, or the beach sand where walls just get too blame heavy and start to fall in.
Well, it's like we talked to when you talked on the other shows about basements in general. I mean, we're basically, we dig a hole and drop a house in it and then just fill up around it and hope it supports it.
Yeah, you know, there's not a whole lot of pre-planning sometimes, you know, and there's nothing against contractors, but I remember I took one of my designers out to a brand new construction site that I think it was Brad when he first started with us. It's been a while ago. And I wanted to show him how a house was built because, you know, he didn't know. And these guys literally, they dug the footing, right? Because they were going to pour the walls. And this was, I'm not going to say where it was, but it wasn't that far from our office. These guys dug the footing. So they had the excavator in there. They dug the footing. And then they went in there and they started measuring the footing to make sure everything was the proper depth. Well, they realized that they dug a little bit too deep. You know what they did?
Shoved a little bit of dirt in there.
They shoved a little bit of dirt back in there. How ridiculous is that when... the whole house is sitting on that dirt that was they never tamped it.
Right.
They never put, they just stuck dirt back in a hole and said, well, let's just pour some concrete over it. That's all they did. We actually went to the builder and I'm like, listen, just so you know, this is what happened. Here's my card, because in a few years, you're going to get sued by the homeowner. So make sure you have it. Well, he went out there, saw what happened, I guess, and actually made him report the footing. And they went in there and actually started tamping. I mean, he made him get in there with vibrators and those whackers and really start pushing everything down to pour it again. And hopefully they don't have an issue, I guess, but I just couldn't believe that. I mean, they saw foundation support works on my truck. I'm sitting out there looking at it, and it was just blatant disregard for, I just don't care.
Right.
I guess there's acronyms for that, and I know you're not allowed to say it on the radio, but I cannot believe that just the blatantness of some people, you know? So, I knew it was wrong. The builder ended up knowing what was wrong, because I'd feel horrible if the same homeowner called us up a year from now, and I would have just sit there and said, yeah, I knew about it, but I didn't say nothing.
Right.
How much credibility would that really bring our company, you know? So, well, listen, Bert, it's about time for a break. I know the station has to make their money. So why don't you go ahead? I've been screwing it up for the last couple of weeks. Why don't you go ahead and give out our numbers?
Okay. Reach us at the office in Milton at 855-DRYZONE. That's 855-DRYZONE. Or you can get us on the web at dryzone.com. And our email address is Bert, B-U-R-T, at dryzone.com, or Bert.Murray at dryzone.com.
All right. We'll be back in just a few minutes, folks.
It's dark and dank, filled with mold and mildew. And there are creatures crawling, creeping.
Do you want to cut energy costs and save up to 20% on your heating bill each month? Let DryZone show you how. DryZone will install a clean space encapsulation system in your crawl space and save you money. When your crawl space is encapsulated by DryZone, your heating system won't work so hard. Your tile and hardwood floors won't be cold. And your crawl space becomes great for storage. DryZone offers interest-free financing for 18 months.
855-DRYZONE or online at DryZone/theduck.com.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. How much do you get paid per hour? You know, that's just about what you'll save by going to Easton Hardware, 303 North Washington Street in Easton, instead of one of those cavernous discount stores. What would you rather spend your time doing? Looking for your supplies or actually working on your project? At Easton Hardware, you'll park a few steps away from the door. Not way, way down there. You'll go inside, ask for what you need, and quickly be shown all the items to complete your successful do-it-yourself project. Not wandering hopelessly lost in aisles of stuff, trying to guess if you picked out the part that will fit your pieces. When you subtract the frustration of trying to look for the supplies you need, subtract the extra time, guess what? It all adds up to savings of both your patience and your pocket. Spend time on your project, not on the supplies, at the Real Savings Place, Easton Hardware. Easton Hardware, 303 North Washington Street, in Easton.
Do you work with or are you a member of an organization that provides employment information or job referrals? Any organization that regularly distributes employment information to job seekers or refers candidates to employers is eligible to receive information about our job vacancies. To be contacted when we have jobs available, contact Beverly Jones by mail, P.O. Box 237, Cambridge, Maryland 21613. Fax at 410-228-0130 or by email at bjones211@comcast.net. You will then receive periodic announcements of jobs at our stations. MTS Broadcasting LLC is an equal opportunity employer.
Start the new year off right with Creative Kitchens and Floors in Seaver, Delaware. Serving Delmarva with pride and commitment, Creative Kitchens and Floors is celebrating 19 years in business.
Congratulations!
And are offering their best promotion ever. Take an additional 19% off their already low prices on kitchen cabinetry. Choose from Wood Mode. Wood Mode is universally recognized as one of the finest kitchen cabinets. Thinking economically? Think Aristocrat Cabinetry. Hurry, the sale ends January 31st. Call Mike Griffith today at 302-629-3333 for an appointment and details today for that new kitchen you've been dreaming of. The sale ends January 31st at Creative Kitchens and Floors. Customer satisfaction is our primary goal. 302-629-3166. 302-629-3166. Or stop by their showroom, 8 North Arch Street, Seaford. Congratulations, CKF.
Requirements for 90% discount. 10 cabinet minimum. Must include countertops, cabinetry installation, floor covering material and installation. NHIC number 14298.
We are back. They made their money, so now it's time to talk about everything foundation, right, Bert?
Right.
I'm going to let you take the reins.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about smart jacks. If you're in your home and your floors are sagging or you have some doors that have starting to stick, you may want to, everybody talks about houses settling somewhat, and all houses do settle some.
Do you know what that means, by the way? I mean, you really look at it, it's plainest, simplest form. Do you know what settling is?
Going crooked.
No, it's your house falling into the ground. That's all it is. There is no ambiguity about it. Your house is now falling in the ground.
Well, we can stop your house from falling into the ground. Straighten up those floors, fix those doors that are starting to stick, because what we're going to do is we're going to look in from underneath the house and see whether your girders have settled, whether you're getting, if your contractor just kind of put some wood shims underneath however much a house weighs, that it's now crushing it. Are your piers okay? Because we can go under there with what we call smart jacks, and we can actually get a little bit of rise from on those and straighten those floors out and straighten that girder out. These are permanent solutions. Not a lot of disruption of the house that we have to work with under there. And so we can, like I say, we can fix the sagging beams or the floor joists in it from your crawl space.
All right. So, you know, the neatest thing about smart jacks, Bert, we've done a huge amount of training because, you know, let's face it, in Sussex County and Wicomico County, Worcester County and Talbot and, you know, Somerset, a lot of crawl spaces. You know, I mean, crawl spaces definitely were in more crawl spaces than basements.
Right.
So, you know, there's such a myriad of things of what an actual crawl space is. I've seen 8-inch crawl spaces, and then I've seen crawl spaces I can stand up in. So when we're in there, even the soils themselves, there's such a different varying amount. You know, down in Ocean Pines, I can guarantee you we're going to hit water at 18 inches.
Right.
There's some houses, we did a house in McDaniel, Maryland, which is out near St. Michael's, that the ground was like hard as rock. I mean, we were literally taking pneumatic hammers, and pneumatic hammers is an air chisel, basically, to chisel the dirt away in parts of the house. They had water, but the dirt was just so blame hard, it was like rock. And with these smart jacks, we can truly fix what's wrong with the home. I've seen some homes that are the girders, or the joists rather, they're overspanned, which means there's too much distance between the two supporting beams, right? Which means they start to bow, or they start to use these new engineer trusses. And, you know, the trusses are great. The only problem is that sometimes those trusses get moist because of the conditions in which we live in.
Crawl space.
And they start to delaminate, which means they're weaker, right? And, you know, you've been enough crawl spaces, Bert.
Right.
You know, on top of the piers, which is the concrete columns inside our homes, the girder, which is like our backbone of our house, between those two, they just put a couple shims.
Correct.
The same thing that they use to level a door and a window with.
Exactly.
That you could break with your two fingers. That's what your house is sitting on. How much sense does that make? And ideally, you're using metal plates and stuff like that, and very rarely do you even see the metal plates anymore. And it's a little disconcerting because, I mean, for Pete's sake, this is the biggest investment we ever make in our life, sitting on a little piece of wood. That's it.
That you can get at the box stores for 20 for $2.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're absolutely, they cost absolutely nothing, and they just start breaking and squishing and cracking, and it's like, it kills me because nobody thinks about it, you know? They're just like, well, that's the way we've always done it.
Correct.
You know? Well, we always used to put asbestos on our pipes, and we used to put lead in our paint, and that didn't make sense either. We're finding more and more that those shims have failed, and we're going in there with hydraulic jacks, and we're actually lifting the home back up to actually take those wooden shims out, and we're putting metal shims back in, and really, I don't think a homeowner should really have to pay for that a year or 2 or 5 years after the house was built. It shouldn't have been built like that in the first place.
Correct.
It's just absolutely annoying. You know, what am I? I'm just a dumb little contractor, I guess. But why did they even use the shims in the first place, Bert?
Well, because it's not built correctly to begin with.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's...
It's not the
when the masons go in there, they simply pour footings. And
right.
They build a wall and they pour footings for the piers.
Piers.
Well, nobody ever says, okay, well, we got to put wood on top of this. Where's that wood going to go? And how much, you know, how much difference in elevation is that from where the sill plate is and where the top of the pier goes? Because ideally,
everything should be right straight across.
It should be right straight across. There should be a little pre-planning, and we should know where all those things go, right? So the pier should actually be a little bit higher than the foundation walls because they have a sill plate that goes in.
Correct.
So when you lay that wood across, everything should be level at that point. Nobody does that. But there's very few contractors out there that do that, and they're extremely few and far between. So they just go in there and they say, well, when you put the wood in there, before you put the, you know, the subfloor on and everything else, just lift up the girder a little bit, shim what you need to make that bubble in the level go right, and then just nail everything together, and it'll be good enough, at least for us to get out of there and get our part done.
For at least a year.
For at least a year, you know, that's the magical number.
Because our warranty's up in a year.
Yeah, 365 days, that's what most contractors worry about. 365 days, done.
Right.
Your problem now. So when, you know, we go in there and we see these different issues, that's the first thing the homeowner wants to do is start suing everybody. So with us, we use what's called a smart jack, and those smart jacks, it's made out of, basically, it's a 3-inch heavy-duty steel, and then it's adjustable too. And when we talk about the way our footings are designed, it's very important the way we design and engineer our footings to truly make what's called a bulb of influence, right? And that bulb of influence is it's just a simple technical term on how this...
it's how pressure is dissipated through the ground.
Well, exactly. So, you know, there's other terms, you know, and I mean, they're called micropiles and everything else. And I guess really the way we design our things are like a very scaled down version of a micropile, but it's very important that when you the way you build these things, it's designed correctly. Because if it's not designed correctly, it's going to be designed to fail. And if it's designed to fail, you have to pay your mortgage for 30 years. It's not like a car where, you know, if you get a lemon, you only got to pay on it for a couple years more, you'll get it fixed, you'll trade it real quick, you'll get out of it. I mean, it's easier to get out of a car than a house.
Right.
So if something's wrong with your house, you're stuck, especially nowadays, right?
Yep. Everything has to be disclosed. And you have home inspectors that are coming in and looking at, that are supposed to be looking at these things, and, you know, because they're going to tell the realtors, and it's all going to be documented.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you have your real estate inspector go underneath the home, make sure he goes underneath the home. You know, there's nothing... I'm dealing with the homeowner right now. It just kills me. They bought the house a year ago. They don't know if the inspector ever went underneath there. They sure as heck didn't mention that the fact that their wood is falling to the ground. I mean, I was talking with Johnny about it last night, and, you know, we've had Johnny on the show before. A year ago, 1 year ago, these people bought the house. We had to literally dig the crawl space out just to get in there. It was 8 inches.
Well, that's right around the corner from me.
That's right around the corner from you. Yeah, it's right down off Cave Neck Road. And when we finally were able to actually get underneath there, we had to dig our way into the crawl space. Then we saw that all the wood was completely gone. And, yeah, I know the homeowner couldn't fit underneath there, but then he should have said, hey, listen, you might want to have something done maybe before you buy the house. Or as soon as you buy the house, you need to start thinking about getting something done because we just simply can't see. My thing is, if they would have taken one of the vents off the foundation, put their hand in there, they could have snapped the wood off with their hands. It's
wow.
That bad. Yeah, I mean, it's just like the house that we had up in Wilmington where the wood was gone. Bert, I mean, it was so bad that I wish I could have had all of you guys up there. I mean, I know Wilmington's a long way to drive, but this is how bad that house was. I mean, the siding was literally crushing because the banner board was gone.
Same thing. I was in a house in... I think I was in Easton last week, and it's the same thing. It's the guy just bought the house. Now he's sending me under. He went under there. He said water everywhere, and woods just. It almost felt like it was raining down there. I mean, the humidity down there was so high, and everything was moldy and everything.
And when was this?
I think it was Easton.
No, I mean, when?
About 2 weeks ago.
So even when it's getting colder,
correct,
you're still going to get the rain, yep, the high humidities, the
down into a crawl space. I mean, it's not going to change that much.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, our crawl spaces stay, what, 55, 60 degrees year-round?
Yes.
You know, and all you need is that tempered, that nice, hot... Because let's face it, for the last few weeks, I mean, it hasn't been that bad.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, we've had some cold days here. You start to get the frost on the windshields in the morning now, which I just can't stand. I grew up in Colorado. I loved it. I think the older I get, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but, now I know why everybody moves to Florida when they retire, because it's just getting cold, and I can't stand the cold now. You know, I'm 38 years old and I'm already talking like my dad, but what can you do, I guess? But yeah, I mean, the crawl space, the temperature and the humidity level stay the same because the ground's inherently always wet, even in the wintertime.
Exactly.
What makes our product so special, Bert?
The things that make our product special is, number one, they're our warranties. They're not just fly-by-night ideas. These are engineered products. They're built to last. They're backed by 300 dealers worldwide. Greg Thrasher out in Nebraska that started FSI has teamed up with Larry Janeski of Connecticut Basement Systems, and right there puts us 300 dealers strong of backing products.
Yeah, and it truly is. I mean, when you truly actually get out to the manufacturer site, it's amazing the amount. I mean, these people care. I mean, I've sat down there and I've talked with Jeff Corton, and I've talked with Kyle Olson, and Jeff, he's the lead engineer, and then Kyle, he's the main structural guy who actually designs these different brackets. And when you talk to him about why this piece of metal is sitting on this bracket the way it is, he's very passionate about it, and he's like, Billy, if you don't design it correctly this way, it could bend because of this. And they've actually taken, pieces of the bracket away to see where the actual weaknesses are. When you call our office and you set up an appointment, you're going to get these different books. And when you're an engineer, you get the big technical manuals, but the engineers also get the layman's book, the why things fail. And it's just absolutely amazing at how little thought goes into other different type of brackets. It's like angle iron is all they use, and it's like nothing to hold up a home.
Right. Well, one of the things that amazed me when I was studying this was we look at a 2x4. A 2x4's strength is vertical, not horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
And its shape has a lot to do with that. It's stronger on the short side than it is on the long side.
Sure.
I guess is kind of maybe the best way to say it.
Because if you push down on a 2x4 that's standing up and down, you can bend it. It'll bow.
Right.
But you're not going to get the short side of it to actually flex.
Right. And looking at our helical piers, okay, a lot of companies out there, there's other companies out there that manufacture helical piers. Well, they're a square helical pier.
Mm-hmm.
Our helical piers are cylinders because the strength is divided in that you can take our helical piers, clamp put two sections together, and it's still going to and lean it at an angle, and it's still going to be straight. Where you take the square helical piers, and it's going to have a bow in it.
Well, and that's because of the way they basically pound the joint together. Plus,
well, not just that; it's just that span,
mm-hmm,
being a rectangle does not have the support of a cylindrical at a distance.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, like on your front porch, if you have wrought iron, that's what they do, is they bend square bar to make
exactly
a decoration. Well, Bert, listen, since you got to give out our information before, let's do that one more time, because our producer is looking at me cross-eyed saying we got to get this thing wrapped up. So,
okay, you can reach us a couple different ways. The phone number is 855-DRYZONE or 855-DRYZONE. You can find us on the web at dryzone.com, and you can reach me by email at bert@dryzone.com or bert.murray@dryzone.com. And again, that's Bert with a U, not an E, as in not Bert and Ernie, but Bert Reynolds and Richard Burton.
Hey, Bert. Well, listen, I appreciate you getting up the last couple weekends and filling in for me. So, folks, give us a phone call. We need questions. We'll make sure that in the next week or two, we actually have a question and answer show like we did. I know we had one a couple months back, so we'll make sure we do another one again. So make sure you bring in all those questions for us. We really appreciate it. And this is Bill Anderson and Bert Murray with Under Your Home with DryZone.
You've been listening to Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/theduck.